It's 1:30 now on National Radio. It's time for Musical Chairs, and today we join composer, producer and guitarist David Long on the eve of his debut solo release.
I call myself a musician partly because it sort of, for me, it encompasses all the things that I do. I sort of say I make music for people. I've always had quite a wide range of musical interests. I was always drawn to certain things, Mum and Dad always had all the records, Bob Dylan, Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, and other folk, things like that. There was one of the Fallow Men or something, and they were like a preppy American folk group, but they had songs that were sort of cowboyish, and they had whips in them. And I remember going, the whip sound sort of at the right times in the song, I thought they were just the most amazing sounds, and it used to really excite me. I even got one in When the Wind Comes Round, and it sort of finishes the chorus. I remember going, yes, I've got my whip in.
When the wind comes round, when the wind comes round,
I remember sort of as a teenager, and you listen to things, and just every so often I'd hear something like, I remember hearing things like the David Bowie song Aladdin Sane, and there's the weirdest piano solo. And I was about 13, and I just sort of thought, God, that's so beautiful. By the time I was 13, I used to, I'd go home every night and sit and learn. I was an upper hut, so it was sort of things like Stairway to Heaven and Rain Song and things like that. My brother was about 4 years older than me, and they were all into Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple. That was what they all came around and they played, and I thought, and I learned that sort of stuff, and one day a friend of my brother's said, if you're going to be a guitarist, there's three people you have to remember are the greatest guitarists in the world: Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck. And I remember thinking, God, that's okay, so I need to remember that. It was like a fact. But then suddenly the punk thing happened. I mean, it's probably a real cliche, but it was really liberating. It was so angular. When the whole new wave thing happened, suddenly there was Toy Love and Blam Blam Blam. I was obsessed with them. If either of them came to Wellington, I'd go and see them. Like if they played, remember Blam 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 coming for three nights, and I went three nights, and I go to see Tour Love. Their Clean were another one, actually. Friends were all listening to all the Dunedin sound, but a lot of the other stuff seemed to me quite doer, and I didn't really discover bands like the Verlaines till later, because I didn't see them live, and it was that live thing. The Blams were just like, I just thought that the songs haunted me, Yeah, songs like Marsha are still one of my favourite songs. So for me, it was sort of funny when I first met Don and we did the Martin Luther thing, it was like, oh my God, I was just terrified of him because he'd written these songs that I thought, were so amazing.
There's five blue figures on a white circle. They're making agreements. Keeping each other in line to be happy.
I was about 17, I think. I felt like all the whole rock thing was just horrible and ugly and Boise, and I didn't fit in, and so gave it up, and had met some of the people in the sort of primitive art group through my brother, who was friends with them, and suddenly I started doing some playing with them, and that was all like free improvised music, and that opened up this whole other realm for me. I did various things for a few years with that. Weird little groups with like Janet Roddick and Neil Duncan called Jungle Suite, and we did things like that, and they were really neat. It was really fun, and it was a really strong collective of musicians. And then out of that, after a few years, we formed Six Volts, which was a sort of combination of improvised stuff and melodic, and at its best when it was live, it was a great band.
Oh, well, maybe.
The headlines read that a boy disappeared, and everyone thinks he died. Except a crazy girl with a secret lover who keeps her satisfied.
Well, I listen to some of that stuff now, and you actually also go, well, it was the 80s, you know, we didn't really sort of know better. At least I only had chorus on my guitar, but I sort of had the other things, you know, and I had, I remember having a stage where I had this horrible amp, Jansen Jazz Chorus, and it was just awful, and I didn't actually get it at that point. I slowly started twigging, like, ah, oh, that little valve amp, my guitar sounds good through it, and started tweaking onto that stuff and sort of grew into that. And what did Dennis Potter say in that last interview with Melvin Bragg? He said something like, he said, I think you have to look back on your early work with an affectionate contempt. And I think that really sums up quite a lot for me, you know.
When you come back home and you find
with the Volts, we did the first Front Lawn album, and so we got to know Don and Harry, and Don was in Wellington once, actually. He was saying something about getting back into just music, and I said, if you ever want a guitarist. And then he rang me about 6 months later, and it was sort of fortuitous timing. It started, and it was just me and Don. We'd sort of go to his house, and we'd demo songs that he'd written, like White Valiant and stuff like that, and I just remember thinking, these are good songs. We put out Dominion Road, and that got the critical reviews. Then Nature came out. So suddenly, that was sort of quite bizarre. I'd always been right on the fringes from doing free improvised music to being number two. It was sort of like, wow, this is weird. But it was good, because I've actually always wanted anything that I've done. I want people to hear it, and I don't have a problem with things becoming popular. I never felt like a real rock guitarist. You know, they're like other people are real rock guitarists, and they probably all feel the same way as well. But I always felt like I was sort of a fake. Plan's always to be the best band in the world. We were all committed to taking it as far as we could. And Don's incredibly motivated. Though there were always lots of things that sort of seemed to get in our way, and things like money always, you know, we'd sort of, someone would get offered some work or something and they'd have to do that. But we were all committed that if we could, we would take it overseas.
Do 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 do
Our manager knew this guy, Steve Hedges, who really liked us, and he was an agent, and he said he'd rig up some gigs. And we went over and we did all these festivals in Europe. We did festival after festival, and they were far, far bigger than we were, you know, the gigs we got, because he just sort of pulled all the favours that he had. And then Virgin UK came on board and eventually started paying us a wage, which was just amazing. When we first got there, we were mainly surviving, apart from bits of other money coming in. We had per diems of 20 New Zealand dollars a day. So we were mainly surviving on freebies, you know, like being taken out for dinner, hoping that would happen, packing our lunches from the breakfast at the hotels in the morning, and just doing that, all that. But it was fantastic. I mean, I guess in a way, that was what I wanted to do. You know, when I was 12, I was going around the world because I played the guitar.
Anchor me in the middle of your deep blue sea. Anchor me in the middle of your deep blue sea.
I mean, I look back on it now and I think, God, we did some really neat records. And there was a period when we'd been touring heaps overseas, but every gig was a blinder. I knew we were delivering blinders all the time, and that was fantastic. And getting to go to all those places, that was good. But what went wrong, I think it's sort of, my brother who's in London would watch that Rock Family Trees, and each week he'd go, did you see it? You guys are cliches, you know, it's the same sort of bands of these sort of weird little things, and the tensions. I think in every band you can almost see, even when it's going well, the seed of what's going to turn it bad in the end. And often that might be actually the tension that makes it work. We're all really different people in the Martin Birds, but that tension, when it was good, really made it fantastic. But there were other sort of, I mean, my relationship was breaking up. There was a big conflict over management, and that was actually sort of a deciding factor for me at the time. Martin Birds went on, I carried on this whole interest in other music, other sounds. They sort of fed into each other as well. Like, I know when I'm doing a piece for a choreographer, I still have to put a melody in it somewhere, and I still have to me, I still sort of think I approach it in with quite a pop sensibility, you know, and I want people to like it. Yeah, and I think that's sort of, maybe that's quite pop as well. Think of music in terms of colour. Like, I'll hear a song and I can give it a colour, or I can give an instrument a colour. Say a song like Too Close to the Sun, I did a sort of feedback all the way through it, and that to me was painting a sort of really reddish thing, and it was about heat, So it's not thinking so much about the chords or something like that, but it's thinking about giving that song an atmosphere that, that really makes the song work. Often writing for TV or film stuff, you really have to, you're really going for the brief that you've been given, and you have to fit it into this, you know, like make that work for this, and it is really fun. And sometimes you sort of might end up musical area that you sort of go, oh, I didn't really plan to get here, but it does work. Dance is more of a collaborative thing, and there's no boundaries. You can go incredibly abstract or not, but you actually have to set your boundaries there, because I always think that it's really important to define the sort of canvas that you're painting on, otherwise things just fritter away into the distance. And but if you can come up with a really strange instrument combination or sound combination, then work with that. One of the things that's been great about being back here is re-establishing the sort of musical relationship with some of the ex-Volts, like with Steve and David and Janet especially. Sometimes we'll be doing music and we'll be rolling around laughing that people actually have got us to do this, and it's so much fun. And I realised that I really missed that in London. It's funny, the moving into producing thing. I'd sort of thought about it, and then on Active I heard Not Your Girl from the EP version of Verb Patrol, and I was blown out by it, and I thought, this band is amazing, I love this. And I sort of thought then, I thought if there was anyone I want to produce. And then a while later, Alan Clark, who was working with them, gave me a ring and said, do you want to come and meet the band about producing an album? And so I went and met them, and we liked each other, and so I produced it. And that was what launched me into that. And I put everything into that album. Like, we just did so many hours. Like 100 hours a week while we were tracking it. But it felt so good. It felt like we were making something really good. I don't think I can do that. I haven't got the energy to do that, you know, but I was at a point where I felt I could do that. It's really seemed so much bigger from outside, and it's hard. Not as cold as it was light, and you can see it. We did a couple of weeks of pre-production, and I'd listened to demos of all the songs. Basically the structures were all there, I really liked them. I think part of what went so well in that was that they were totally into it, they were totally committed, and they were really good players, and it was really nice. You could work them, and they keep on coming back. You can see it. You won't believe it. I'm spinning around. I'm spinning around. Spinning around. I'm spinning. What I wanted to get was a sort of graininess in the sound. I don't like that sort of airbrushed, produced finish. When you're listening to a guitarist or a drummer, or I like being able to imagine them playing it rather than it just feeling this such sheen on it that it's all like an airbrushed painting. And so I want it to feel more like an oil painting, where you can like see the brush strokes, so that guitars sort of crackle. I think what we ended up with was a really good, slightly dirty little pop album.
So take the time.
People are always asking you, where's the single? Are you working on singles? And I really don't know, and I don't think anyone really knows. Warners, when they came on board with the album, they brought a radio programmer up and he listened to about six songs. He sort of went, oh, they're nice. No, we won't play any of them. And I think we played Lydia at the end. And he listened to that and he said, oh, no, nice song. You know, if it had a big 12 string through it, maybe we'd play it. Lydia went to number one, and it's such a little song, so spare, and we sort of gone for these sort of shonky sounds on purpose, and that felt fantastic. That was great, because it was so wrong, and we should celebrate when things that don't fit the format do it. Little songs I felt deserved some sort of air, and so I got other people in to sing them. I do BVs on them and do harmonies, but my voice isn't up there, isn't good enough. So, but when I did it, you know, there's that sort of whole thing of like, oh, I'm not a proper songwriter, you know, I shouldn't put this out. But David and Steve kept on going, yeah, no, this is good, we like this, we would cook dinner to this, and that seemed like a good criteria for our age.
I can almost smell the grass every summer past, like photographs of things I've said.
I did it in stolen moments, so it sort of was over a period of time. Then I reached a point where I wasn't doing anything with it. Life seemed too hectic. And David and Steve, they've done a couple of albums as Thrash and Marlin, and I'd helped them finish their last one. And they said, well, you helped us with that, we're going to finish your album. And I wouldn't have done it without them. But also, so we could finish it, inspired by Lars von Trier, we developed a dogma. I decided, because I had heaps of tracks, 20 or 25 little bits of music that were sort of somewhere near being done, and so we decided that it was the stuff that was easiest to finish that we'd do. And also we had a thing that no one was allowed to take from when they started working on their instrument on a track. No one was allowed to take more than an hour, which is sort of interesting. It's sort of like not how I work as a producer. And Steve doubled his vocal. I think it's on See in the Dark. And I keep on hearing it. We actually pulled it down a bit in the mix, the word, but he gets the words wrong when he's doubling it at one point, and we sort of went, oh, that's too bad. That's it. That's part of the dogma. You might lose some things, but you gain others.
Come home, baby. We were meant to be. Can't you see you're my philosophy?
The gains are you get a spontaneity. With Inside My Skin with Julia, she sang another one of mine, and it didn't gel with her. It didn't quite work. And we talked about Inside My Skin, and she said, "Oh, I really like that song. You know, I really like the words in it." I said, "Do you want to do that?" Because it was on Envy of Angels, and I'd always sort of felt like I'd like to do a little version of it. And from Woe to Go, it probably took 8 hours, including the mix, and I'm really happy with that.
You will find me breathing slowly. I won't leap in. Days go by the long way, giving time its own.
Each one, I've tried to give it an atmosphere, and I think that's what I did in the Mutton Birds. But so often the atmosphere might be just a sort of sound effect, sort of shimmering in the background. You know, some people peak when they're like 20. I'm hoping I'll peak when I'm 40. I sort of think I'm getting better. I think when I started, I wasn't a very good player at all, and I had lots of aberrations of taste. Now I know more than ever what I want. I want often performances to be pulled back that don't give everything away. But I might do a noisy one next.
Inside My Skin, featuring vocals by Julia Deans from David Long's debut solo album under the name Slim Volume, which is called Come On In.